chapter 10. Chapter 10 is on international trade. Is the world's resources are not evenly distributed around the globe. Now, the United States is a very large country, and we're richly endowed with many natural resources, but we still can't provide everything that that we need. Now, could America survive if we did not trade with other nations? Well, yeah, we could survive. I mean, the world wouldn't come to an end. But could we live as well as we do materially if we did not trade with other nations? And that answer, the answer is that we could not. There's no way that we could maintain our present standard of living if we did not trade with other nations. And so what we're going to do in this chapter is find out exactly why that's true. We're also going to learn in this chapter the differences in the different exchange rates. See, why is a trade advantage for all countries? Okay, I just said that because the world's resources are not evenly distributed around the globe. How does foreign trade affect GDP? An increase in exports increases GDP. A decrease in exports decreases GDP. Now, how do we measure growth? Well, we measure growth by gross domestic product. What's gross domestic product? Well, gross domestic product is C, consumption, plus investment, plus government, plus net exports. That is how we measure growth. Well, with GDP, if we got more money coming in from foreign nations and going out, then GDP increases. If we have more money going out than coming in, then GDP decreases. So we have consumption, that's always a positive number. Investment, that's always a positive number. And then we have government, that's always a positive number. But the foreign sector could be either negative or positive, depending upon whether we have a positive exports or not. So here we have what's called a production possibilities frontier. And this shows us what we could do if we did not trade. But this shows us a new production possibilities frontier with trade. So to increase trade, we can essentially, if we do it the right way, of course, we can push out the production possibilities curve. And we can have more of everything. Now, what gives a country's currency value? Why is it that we, you and me, want to possess American dollars? Well, we want to possess American dollars so we could buy things, correct? So, you go to the store and you got dollars and you can buy things. Well, why do foreigners want to possess American dollars? Yeah, same thing, right? It's the same thing. They want to possess American dollars so they can buy American goods. See, they need American dollars because just like you and I can't go to the corner grocery store and use Japanese yen or euros to buy groceries, well, foreigners can't do that either. So foreigners need dollars to buy from American producers. And this is what gives the dollar value. Now, what gives anything value? What two things give anything value? The same two things: usefulness and level of scarcity. You show me something that's useful and is relatively scarce, then it will have value. The more useful, along with the more scarce, the more value. Of course, it's got to be both, right? It's got to be useful and scarce. So, same with a country's currency. What gives the country's currency value on the international market? Well, it's supply and demand. The more people demand it relative to supply, the value goes up. Well, why do people demand it? Because it's useful and it has value because it's relatively scarce, right? Now, one point I'm making here is that there's nothing special about money or the value of the dollar in terms of what determines the value. See, if you look at that door over there, well, the value is determined by usefulness and level of scarcity, which is measured by demand and supply. You know, what gives this computer value? Its level of usefulness, right? And it's the same with dollars. You know, dollars are useful, all right, and they're relatively scarce. Therefore, you know, there's a demand and supply. And so it's the demand and supply of dollars on the international market that determine its value. And that's true for any currency. What determines the value of the European euro or the Japanese yen? Well, it's the same thing. See? It all gets down to demand and supply. What is the country's exchange rate? The price of one country's currency measured in terms of another country's currency. And that's the exchange rate. And that's what this video that I showed you, I didn't get this on the tape for those that are watching this tape, but we did see a video on exchange rates and what determines a country's exchange rate, well, is you know, there's a demand supply of one country's currency, demand supply of another country's currency. Demand supply is in constant change, so the value of one currency is changing relative to the value of another currency. And that's a normal, that's how markets work. Okay? And the market here that we're talking about is the international exchange market. What does it mean when a currency is depreciated? That means an increase in the number of units of a currency needed to purchase one unit of a foreign exchange. In other words, if a country, if a dollar depreciates, that means that it's worth less relative to other currencies. Therefore, when we buy from foreigners, it takes more dollar bills because the value of each one is less than it was before. That, you know, that's what it means when we say that a country's currency has depreciated. Now, it's always relative to. I mean, you know, the dollar may depreciate relative to the yen, but it may appreciate relative to the euro. All right? See, that's what does it mean when a currency is appreciated? A decrease in the number of units of a currency needed to purchase one unit of a foreign exchange. And we're going to talk about exactly what would change these values over time. It's going to get pretty interesting when we get to that point. What determines the exchange rates of different currencies, the supply and demand for that currency on the international exchange market, or the international market? What are flexible exchange rates? Rates are determined by the forces of demand supply without government intervention. Now, there was a time, and we're going to talk about it, when exchange rates were fixed relative to one another. But today, currencies, the system that we're operating under, it's called a freely flexible international exchange rate system. Now, see, there are other systems that we've used in the past, but the one that we're on now is basically a system that says, well, we're not going to try to, our governments say, we're not going to try to set the value of our currencies, but we're going to let the value of our currencies be determined by market forces. Now, in reality, what governments do is they say, well, all right, the market can determine the value, but we can do certain things that would influence the market. Okay, so when currencies are allowed to be determined by market forces, we say that currencies are floating, that they're allowed to float. When countries take action to influence those market forces, to either increase or decrease the value of their currencies, then we call that a dirty float. So these are just terms that we use, a float, dirty float. But you'll get used to these terms as we go on. Well, now when you get down to particulars, it gets a little bit more involved. I should say that the major currencies of the world are allowed to float, but some currencies peg their currencies to a major currency. And it's hard to believe, but China pegs their currency to the American dollar. So the Chinese currency, the government can influence its value, but it, okay. Yeah, I wish you well on that cable. Yeah, he had to leave early, so the cable man's coming to put his cable in. But we're going to talk about this a little bit later, you know, exactly how it's done. So what we are really talking here is major currencies. Although the Japanese currency you would think would be a major currency, and in today's world it is. But a while ago, before China was as big as it is, it pegged its currency to the dollar and hasn't changed that. See, what determines demand for currency in the international market? Foreigners demand another country's currency for what that currency can buy. What determines the supply of a currency in the international market? When citizens of a country buy goods and services from another country. Well, that's one way. You know, when we buy from foreigners, you've got to look at this thing as, okay, here's America, and you can look at it as a sphere, and then beyond that sphere is the rest of the world. So what we're really looking at here is the interaction between what's happening in America and what's happening in the rest of the world. So when we're talking about the value of the dollar, we're talking about the rest of the world, not here in America. So when we're talking about that there's going to be an increase in the supply of dollars, well, that means that from that sphere that we say is America, dollars is leaving and entering into the rest of the world. And therefore, money, or dollars, I should say, not just any money, but dollars, is increasing in the rest of the world. Now, when anything increases, and supply increases, what happens to the value? It decreases. So if we flood the market with dollars, then the value of the dollar should go down, but there are other forces, meaning there are demand forces as well as supply forces. So in other words, everything else being equal, and that's a big assumption here, everything else being equal, if more dollars enter into the world market, then the value of the dollar will go down. Now, this brings us to an important point. Does a country want the value of its currency to go up or down, or to be high or low? Well, you would think, it would depend. That's true. It would depend. But most of the time, countries want the value of their currency to go down. Now, in fact, later we're going to talk about what's called currency wars. And we are in a currency war with other nations. And a part of that war is that, a country will do what it can to lower the value of that currency. So why? Why would a country want the value of its currency to go down? I mean, you'd think it'd be the opposite, right? You're thinking, hey, you want a strong currency, And if you've got a strong currency, well, that means that we've got, you know, more buying power, you know, when we buy foreign goods. So why would a country want the value of its currency to go down? Well, the reason is that when the country's currency goes down relative, and it's always relative too, when we talk about currencies going up in value or down in value, it's always relative to other currencies. So if a country's currency goes down in value, then what happens is that when foreigners want to buy from that country, well, it doesn't take as much of their currency to trade. In other words, prices to if a country's currency, like if the value of the dollar goes down, then what's going to happen is that the prices, American prices of goods and services to foreigners goes down. Because if our currency is worth less relative to other currencies, then that means that other currencies are worth more relative to the dollar. And if their currencies are worth more, then that means that their buying power is greater, which means that they, American producers, exporters, will sell more to other nations. And that will bring money into the country, which is good for business. Now, you see, there's just a finite amount of money available at any one point in time. Now, you know, we have created money. We've talked about this before. The Federal Reserve is, for years now, has been simply creating money out of thin air. So you know, money can be created, and we can actually increase the supply of money on the world market by simply creating it. All right, but what can happen is that there's both the demand and supply of money. Now, one reason why people around the world demand dollars is because the dollar is the world's standard currency. Now, we'll talk about more on this later, but the point I'm making here is that what determines the value of a currency on the world market is the market. And what is the market? The market's demand and supply. So the reasons why people demand the currency, and then of course the other part of it is the supply of currency can either increase or decrease. One point I was making, I kind of lost my train of thought there. All right, let's say the American dollar goes up in value. Now, what does that do to our buying power as consumers? Well, it goes up, right? I mean, we can buy more foreign products, correct? Mm-hmm. Now, at any one point in time, the volume of money is, there's just so much money available. So if money continues to leave, we got good buying power. The dollar is strong. We buy more from foreigners than they buy from us. Well, how long can that last? I mean, what's going to happen eventually? I mean, what would happen to you if that over time, you know, more money was leaving your pocket than entering? You know, that your outgo was greater than your income. What's going to happen to you? You're going to go broke, correct? Well, see, it's the same thing with a country. I mean, you know, the value of a country's currency can be high, and okay, that's good for, you know, consumers, and they can afford to buy more foreign products. But if that continues, more and more money leaves, more and more money leaves, more and more. Well, see, I mean, eventually a country can go broke. So what countries want to do is that they want to encourage money to come into the country. And that's why again, you know, that there are reasons why you might want more money to come in and reasons why you might want more money to go out. But what a currency war is that countries do what they do to lower the value of their currencies in order to make their products less expensive to foreigners. See, this is what Japan is doing right now to a large extent. See, Japan's having it's had a stagnant economy now for years. And they're having a problem of deflation. You know, deflation can be a problem. You know, you might think, well, how can deflation be a problem? Well, deflation is a problem because it hurts businesses. You know, businesses have costs, and if their costs are so much, and the price of the things that they sell goes down, then you know their profit margin squeezed, and they could end up making big losses. Anyway, that's what's happening in Japan. So Japan is doing what they can to lower the value of their currency on the world market. Well, how do they do that? Well, they create yen. They create money. And that money goes into the international market. The supply of yen increases on the international market, and everything else being equal, what's going to happen to the value or the price of each yen, you know, each unit? More of it, right? Greater supply, more of it, easier to come by. The value of each unit goes down. All right, now, if the value of each unit goes down, if the value of the yen goes down in the international market, what happens to our buying power and rest of the world's buying power when we want to buy from Japan? Huh? Yeah, it increases, right? The value of the yen goes down relative to our currencies. Our currencies now are more valuable relative to the yen. We buy more from Japan. What happens to jobs in Japan? More jobs. Yeah, see? Of course, what's going to happen here? I mean, what can happen? Well, I'm having a little hard time here, as you notice. I mean, you know, last time I was sick, and I'm not quite over it, and I'm struggling here a bit. I might have to cut this lecture short because I'm struggling. But anyway, all right, Japan, they got a problem. They flood the market with yen. The price of the yen goes down. We buy more from Japan. Japanese businesses sell more around the world. But what problem might that cause for the rest of us? Yeah, see, if more people buy from Japan, fewer people buy from us. So if you were, so in essence, what Japan is doing here is they're just saying, oh, we got a problem, and we don't want that problem, so we're going to try to give it to you. Right? Now, what do we do as a result? Come on now. They got a problem. You know, a sluggish economy. Deflation. You know, unemployment. So they increase the yen, lower the value of the yen on the world market. More people buy from them. Fewer people buy from us. So what can we do in retaliation? Same thing, right? We could say, hey, well, if that's the way you're going to play, we can play that game too. And, you know, we're going to take action. And I'm going to get into the details exactly what this means. But, you know, we can take action to lower the value of our currency. And that's what we call a currency war. In fact, one of the books that I mentioned in, you know, in my textbook is is a book called Currency Wars. You know, countries can actually engage in currency wars. I mean, we are today engaged in a currency war, and as well as other countries. Now, who wins a currency war? Nobody. It's a lose-lose situation. You know, anything you might gain from a currency war is very short-lived. All right? Because you do something, it inflicts harm on others. Others do something, inflicts harm on you. And see, and what happens over time is that, you know, both parties are worse off. See, what is the only way to really, you know, have full employment, you know, stable prices, or even declining prices, but in a good way? I mean, you know, the only way to have full employment is for a country to grow. And how does a country grow? Well, a country grows by encouraging savings, investment, innovations, inventions. You know, and a country grows by increasing productivity. You increase productivity, costs go down, you can lower your price, increase your profits, because you're going to sell more at the lower prices, but you can only do that if you lower your costs first. But you know, this is the way that all countries can benefit over the long run. So these tactics of like a currency war is very short-sighted and very temporary, and only causes more problems down the road for everybody. All right, what determines different exchange rates? All right. A country's currency has value because people around the world demand that currency. So then you got to ask yourself, why do people demand that currency? Well, let's assume that you were a very wealthy person, or you had authority over a lot of money, like it might be a country, or it might be a retirement, you know, group, or you know, something. You know, I mean, you've got responsibility over a large sum of money, whether it's yours or other people. So then you say to yourself, where in the world would it be best for me to hold this money? Because you don't have to hold it in your country. Like if you're talking about American, well, you don't have to hold it in America. You know, you can hold it in other countries. Same with, you know, other countries, everybody. So what kind of things would you consider if you're trying to say, what country should I invest in, or you know, put these savings in? Well, one is the price levels of that country. In other words, let's say that country X will pay you 10% interest, but they're having an inflation rate of 15% annually. You know, 10% interest, but they're having an inflation rate of 15% annually. Well, if you put your money in that country, what's going to happen? Even though you're getting 10% physically back, your buying power has actually gone down by 5%, right? So in other words, you want to put your money in a country that's got price stability. Right, because if you put your money in a currency, and that country has high rates of inflation, then you're losing money because the value of each of unit is going down in accordance to inflation. So you want to put your money in a country that's not got inflation problems. All right, the second thing you want to look at is interest rates. You know, you want to put your money where you can get a good rate of return. And interest is the return on savings. So you want to put your money in a country that's going to pay you the highest interest. All right, number three, you want to put your money where there's a future there, where there's growth. You know, you want to put your money in a country that's on solid ground, that it's growing, it's got a good future. Okay, that's another factor. And the fourth factor is political and economic stability. I mean, the last thing in the world you want is to put your money in a country that's on the verge of a revolution or on the verge of a total economic collapse. See, you're looking for stability. So these are the four things that ultimately determine the value of a country's currency. You know, inflation, the price levels, interest, rate of growth, political and economic stability. Now, in the past, and still is, despite all our missteps economically, the American dollar has retained its value because we do have had price stability in this country. Now, interest rates, that's not working in our favor. But when you're talking about interest rates, all these things are relative things. In other words, the interest rates in America have been very, very low over the past several years. But what about interest rates in other countries? Well, interest rates in the major other countries have been low also. See what I mean? So you have to make your decisions, not based on the absolute value, but based on the relative value. So, but still, our very low interest rates have not bode well in terms of the dollar. But that's why there's more than one factor that determines the value of the dollar. Now, rate of growth, well, that's not really too much in America's favor either. But then you look around the world and, most of the rest of the world is in the doldrums as well. But so far, we have had a great deal of economic and political stability, compared to other countries. So, there's some good and some bad, but all in all, these things have kept the value of the dollar high. But perhaps the biggest reason, and it's not on here because it only applies to the United States and not other countries, is that the dollar is the world standard currency, or what we call the world's reserve currency. You know, that we're one of the few countries, well, we're the only country in the world. Well, let me be correct here. I'd say we're one of the few countries in the world where we can use our own currency to buy foreign products. What most other countries do is that if they want to buy from a third country, they got to convert their currency to dollars and then use those dollars to buy from that country. Now, I have to be a little careful on this because that is becoming less and less true every month. Okay, the world is doing, most of the world is doing everything they can to separate themselves from the American dollar. You know, Japan and China has made agreements where they can trade amongst one another bypassing the dollar. You know, China and Japan now trade using their own currencies. They don't use the American dollar. Other countries are beginning to do the same thing. You know, the window where the dollar is the world standard currency is drawing to an eye. It's in maybe even a couple of years, something will replace the dollar. Because of our past transgressions, that America has abused our privilege of upholding the world standard currency, and other nations are unwilling to tolerate our missteps forever. And so they are pulling away from the dollar. And that's very serious, because the number one reason why Americans live as well as they do is that the dollar is a standard currency, period. You know, that has upheld the value of the currency, because despite our economic missteps, foreigners still demand the dollar because, well, they need the dollar so they can trade with other nations. Why they need the dollar? Because it's a standard currency. And if the value of the dollar remains high, is propped up because of this, then what happens to our buying power as Americans? I mean, you know, the only reason that we can go to these clothing stores and buy clothes for next to nothing is because the dollar is the standard currency, period. If the dollar weren't the standard currency, our shop, when you go shopping for clothes and other items, prices would be much, much higher. Especially since if those items were imported, which is true for almost everything nowadays in America. So when the dollar falls from its perch as the world standard currency, then our buying power as Americans is going to decline greatly, which means our standard of living will decline and unemployment will get much, much worse, because our buying power will be much less. I mean, we'll talk about more on this next time, but it's time to go, and so we'll pick this up where I left off, and I'll finish this chapter next time. So I'll see you all next time.